the other day we were talking about number 25. May all beings be endowed with the 12 ascetic virtues. This is the practice of the Bodhisattva when seeing someone without ornaments. And so I thought I would just go through the 12 ascetic virtues. These were 12 ascetic practices that the Buddha allowed monastics to do. He didn't require it. He just allowed it because he didn't believe that people were to hate their body or be cruel to their body in any way. But he did realize that for some people, certain ways of restraining the body and restraining the senses was very, very helpful to their practice. So he allowed these. And so Mahakasapa was the foremost of the Buddhist disciples in doing these 12 ascetic virtues. Okay, so there's 4 that have to do with shelter, 2 that have to do with your bed, 3 with food, and 3 with clothes. Okay? And so in terms of shelter, then as a monastic, to live in a secluded place, okay, not in a populated place with a lot of people, not in town with all the distractions. To live beneath trees, not in a building, but outside. This, by the way, was in ancient India where it's warm, not here where it's snowing. okay, to live beneath trees, to live in graveyards, because if you lived in a cemetery or a charnel ground, it really helped your practice. You had a very clear awareness of death, and hopefully. And sometimes people would be quite frightened by the corpses and so on that they saw, or spirits in the area, and that was seen as a way to really inspire samadhi practice, because it was a way to deal with the fear. And then, okay, so it's secluded, either beneath trees, in a charnel ground, or in a place with no roof. Okay, so just out in the open, exposed to the elements. Yeah. So clearly this was a different society. Now if you did this, you know, they might arrest you for vagrancy. you know, but it is nice, you know, on our land, you know, I guess somebody could sleep outside and do like that. Okay, then in terms of the mattresses, one is to, instead of lying down, to sleep sitting up, cross-legged. And so you see some meditators now doing that, especially when they're doing long retreat. They have like a little meditation box, and you just sit there and sleep sitting up. Or the other one is to sleep with having grass as your mattress. So instead of some kind of, you know, comfortable, soft thing that we can easily get attached to, just sleeping on grass. Okay, in terms of food, then eating on alms. Now, some people say that the monastics are begging. That's not correct. When you're begging, you're asking people for food. Now, as a monastic, you don't ask. When you go on alms run, you have your bowl, your eyes are down. You stand in front of a house. If the people see you and they want to make offerings, they will come out and give food. And then you go on to the next house and stand there. If they want to give something, then they come out and they put it in your bowl. But you don't ask. Okay, so it's not begging. And it's on alms. And when you're on alms, you don't, you know, hang out and chat with the person and, oh, thank you very much, and what's in this, and, oh, you made my favorite dish, I'll come back for alms again tomorrow. You know, you have such a lovely house. You know, you don't do that kind of thing. It's just, you know, you're very mindful and aware and feeling gratitude and making prayers for the benefactor, but not chatting people up. Okay, so eating on alms. And eating alms means that you are content with what is given to you. Yeah, and so it's here we do it in the sense that people offer food to the abbot. We don't go out and buy. If you're on alms round, if people don't give you food, you don't eat. And if they don't give you what you like, then you have a choice, either to eat what you don't like or you don't eat. And so it's kind of the same here. People don't give, and that's it. If what's served, you know, because different people cook, if what's served for the meal isn't what you like, then you can either not eat or, you know, or eat it. So it depends on you. So it's a practice in developing non-attachment to food, you know, because we like to eat what we want to eat when we want to eat it, cooked in the way we like to cook it. And we like to piddle in the kitchen, and if we don't have the ingredient we want, we're going to go out to the store and buy it. And so this cuts out all that kind of stuff. Okay, then another one regarding food is to eat only one meal a day. Okay, so rather than two meals, or which is allowed in monastic life, breakfast and lunch, or three meals, as lay people do, then eating only one meal in the day. And together with that is standing for alms only at three doors, at three households, and whatever you get at those three households is what you eat. So you don't keep on going until your alms bowl is as full as you want it. You just accept what's given at the three households. And then the third set of practice is regarding food, is that what you receive the first time you ask for alms is sufficient. You don't go again on another alms round later on. The way they practice this in Thailand is what you get on your alms round is sufficient, and if anybody brings food to the monastery, you don't accept that. Okay? So it's a way, again, of limiting what you eat, developing contentment, accepting with gratitude and grace what people offer. Okay, so those are the three regarding food. And then the three regarding clothes are to first wear rags. In other words, wear clothes that have been used by others for over 4 months. So not the clothes that somebody's worn once and given away, but has been used for a while. Or clothes that have been discarded. So these are clothes, for example, often the monastics would get the cloth that they made their robes from the charnel ground, because the bodies were thrown there, they were covered in cloth, and then that cloth was taken and used, or cloth that was found by the wayside that was discarded. You would take that and then sew that up and make your robes. And so the idea here is to be content with whatever clothes we have. We don't need to get new robes every year, new sweaters every year. You start this when you take the Anagarika, and when you're wearing gray, you go into the closet and there's a lot of gray clothes. So you just take what other people who have been Anagarikas before you wear, and you're content with that. And now also we have robes that people have given us. Some are new, some are used. So when you ordain, or when an ordained person needs new robes, then you go and you take from that pile, instead of going and, you know, I want this and that and the other thing, and I want it made like this, and I'm going to pick the cloth that's beautiful, and I want it really smooth, and yada, yada, yada. Okay? So developing contentment with the clothes that we wear. And then the second one regarding clothes is to wear only three robes. And so we have our three robes that we have as a monastic, five robes for bhikshunis. So the three for the monastics are Shamdap, our lower robe, the Chugu, the yellow robe that you have as a Shramanera, Shramanerika, and then the Namjar, which is the yellow robe with many, many patches that you have as a fully ordained person. And those sometimes can double as your blankets. Remember, this was not your shunta, but the other two, because in ancient India, you know, when you were walking on, because you didn't have a permanent residence, and you had your two robes, and they could cover you and protect you from mosquitoes and bugs, so. And then the third one regarding clothes is to wear only felt cloth. And I'm not sure here if felt means actually what we mean by felt today, or if it just means some kind of rough cloth. In other words, not the nice, smooth cloth. Because remember, India is famous for its silks and beautiful clothes, and so just to wear a very simple kind of cloth. Okay, so those were the practices that the Buddha allowed for monastics to do, and encouraged people who had a lot of attachment to do them. Nowadays, it's you know, again, it's up to us. We need to follow the laws of the country and not be vagrants. We also need to take care of our health. When I was living at Kopan, we lived in this one old building. It was a brick building, and so the floor was brick, so it was pretty cold. And we had we had grass mats for a while, and then we got upgraded. We got small foam mats, and so we were sleeping on those. And Lama Yeshe used to come and check out our rooms to see if they were neat, to see what stuff we had in them. And I remember there was this one monk who was just sleeping on the one grass mat on the cold brick. And Lama scolded him, and he said, "You're on some kind of Milarepa trip. You know, this thin little mattress is no big deal. It's not luxurious. You should have one, because otherwise you're going to get sick. Because if you sleep on the cold, you know, it affects your internal organs, and it's easy to fall ill, and then it's difficult to practice the Dharma. Or more challenging, not necessarily difficult, but more challenging." Okay. But, you know, the idea behind the ascetic practices is to remember that we are training our mind against attachment, because we see attachment and craving and clinging as the enemy that destroys our happiness. Yeah. So it really hits home a lot, you know, because especially when you come to live in a monastery, you're already giving up a lot of things. And so that's why the kitchen becomes really the center of attention, you know? So you start training your mind there. The schedule becomes the center of attention because you're already giving things up. Or sometimes very small things can become very big things in your mind because, you know, you've given up TV and meat and drugs and, you know, and your car. And so, you know, you really feel like you've gone turkey, cold turkey already. And then the schedule just becomes so important, or the you know, the food becomes very important, or something else, you know, comes in there. Okay. But it's just a reminder to us to tame our mind in reducing attachment, okay? But without going to some kind of extreme of torturing the body or hating the body, because that's not